22 minutes past 8 o'clock. One pair of eyes must last you a lifetime, my friend. You only get one pair. You owe it to yourself not to take any chances of unnecessary strain. Today, while the thought is fresh in your mind, have your eyes checked by Dr. Roller and his staff of registered optometrists at the Kinsman Optical Company. You may be sure that if you do not need glasses, they will frankly tell you so, and happy to. Should you need glasses or simple orthoptic treatments or something, the Kinsman Budget Plan will help you take care of the modest cost. Now, don't wait for the danger signals that announce deficient vision. An annual checkup at Kinsman's, where the most modern equipment is used, will forestall damage to your eyes. Kinsman Optical Company, Washington's oldest and largest optometrical establishment. Been there since 1900. 1320 F Street in the Northwest. It is 8:23. Mr. Melvin Lancaster of O Street Northeast is a birthday today. Hello there, Brother Lancaster. Mrs. Frances Hall of Montella Avenue Northeast is a birthday too. And Beverly Yumkus of 11th Street, 5 years old. Greetings from Murray and Ronnie, Beverly. Mary Dolores Ruling, K Street, is 9 years old today. Mary, come over here and look behind the radio, Hunsie Boo. I think there's a little something back here. Better come and look. Hey, Mother, get some Dr. Pepper for those kids. For a bite to drink between meals, and most any time, there's nothing to equal Dr. Pepper. It's as nourishing and healthful as it is delicious and refreshing. Enjoy it at 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, those in-between times, you see. See how comfortable it makes you feel and how it helps you to forget any undue warmth. Dr. Pepper is only 5 cents a bottle. You can get it from your grocer. Ask him to include half a dozen bottles with your very next order. Here's a new recording by the Kingsmen, which is a honey. Next time your car needs a lubrication job, my friend, call Metropolitan 8500 and ask the young man upon the motorcycle to come and get your car and Gulflex it. Metropolitan 8500 is the telephone number of the Gulf stations around town. They will be glad to come and get your car, do the lubrication, the car wash, change the oil, or anything you want, and bring the car back to you. And it's just one of those many little things they do free, don't cost you a nickel extra, that make motoring so much nicer for you. Use the Gulf station in your locality. You will find it a real house of service. Go Gulf. Let's Gulf do it. Robert Thomas, Jr., 13th Street Northwest's birthday today. Greetings from your mother, Bobby. Virginia Singleton. Greetings from Grace and Ruth. Say, Sammy Schwartz has all the new 1940 radios. Charles Schwartz and Son, 708 7th Street Northwest. You must see them, and by all means, consider one of the new portables. Oh, boy, these portable radios are something. Sammy's got all of them, RCAs, Philcos, Emersons, and Zenith, and their price was as low as $19.95. Designed for battery use, and many have DC and AC electric plug-in outlets as well, you know. While you have the radio home, you can save the batteries by plugging in on the house current. Or take it on with you to the woods or the seashore or wherever you're going. And Charles Schwartz and Son is the place where you can have your choice of many makes and models and enjoy the convenience of a budget account. Terms as low as 50 cents a week. So shop for your radio at Charles Schwartz and Son, 708 7th Street Northwest, down by that old gold clock. Tell Sammy I said hello, too, will you? Kick him in the shins for me, if you haven't for some time. He loves it. Here we are again with 2 minutes to go and 19 sponsors. Life is so sad. But one of the nicest ways I know of to start off a pleasant evening is dinner at the Pendall. Try it. The Pendall Hotel. It's a lovely place. The food is delicious, the service is unexcelled, and the price is most reasonable. The Pendall is 2 miles south of Alexandria on U.S. Route number 1, the Richmond Highway. Just about half a mile this side of Beacon Airport. Go out there and try those dinners, luncheons, and breakfasts. You'll love them. The Pendall, PENN-DAW. It's a lovely place. Lee D. Butler here has got a big situation on, too. You know, the 1940 Studebaker is on the way. That means that Lee's got to clean house at once to pave the way for future trade. To get immediate action, he's staging a $50,000 closeout of late model Butler-bonded cars of every make and every budget style. Buicks and Plymouths and Fords and Dodges and Chevrolets and, of course, Studebakers, built by the famous Studebaker craftsman for longer life. Every car goes now far below its real value, and never have terms been easier. You don't have to make any payments until November 1, and then only 10% down. Don't you miss this opportunity now. See Lee D. Butler, 1121 21st Street Northwest, the gentleman who says, my used cars will make good, or I will. And you need have no worries about that. Dream beside me in the moonlight glow. Well, it's come up 8:30. You can't stop a clock, can you? This is the Sundial, WJSB, Washington, D.C. The music was recorded. Stop to think that you serve your family bread more frequently than any other food on the menu? You probably do, Mother. Don't you want to be absolutely sure you're giving your family the most delicious, fine-flavored bread you can buy? A bread that actually adds to the enjoyment of their meals? Of course you do. All right, try certified double-flavored bread. I'm not kidding you. You'll find something in bread that you buy in a store that you never knew about before. It's delicious. Certified double flavor bread. Try it now. Ask for it at your grocer by that name. The certified magic carpet transcribed interview is coming up.
The certified magic carpet and your pilot, Charles Daly, have visited dozens of men's groups at their regular weekly luncheons. But today we visit the Soroptimist Club, a group of women who meet at lunch once a week to exchange ideas and to increase understanding and friendship among businesswomen. They are lunching in the cabinet room at the Willard Hotel. Now, we know well the record made by the men's department, and the certified magic carpet is eager to find out how the members of the Soroptimus can do with the question cargo. And so the first guest to step aboard the certified magic carpet is Mary Turner. Now, Miss Turner, I understand that in the Soroptimus Club, one woman is picked from each business to represent the particular business, and you only have one member from each business in the organization.
That's right.
What department are you from?
Well, I'm the director of the Home Service Bureau, the Potomac Electric Power Company. And that would come under utilities, I suppose.
Well, now, this has a good deal to do with utilities. How much earth can be taken out of a hole 4 feet long, 3 feet wide, and 6 feet deep?
Now, how would I know that?
Oh, very simple, very simple. How much earth can be taken out of a hole 4 feet long, 3 feet wide, and 6 feet deep?
I wouldn't even know.
You can't take any dirt out of a hole. I haven't been able to for a long time. There's no dirt in it. Now, which one of the following can't a penguin do? Swim, walk, run, fly, lay eggs. Which one can't a penguin do? Swim, walk, run, fly, lay eggs.
Fly.
Fly is right. Now, when does the word love mean absolutely nothing at all? I'll give you a hint. It's in some kind of sport.
Tennis.
Tennis is right. When you say 40 love, it means 40 nothing. Now, in the poem by Edgar Allan Poe called The Raven, what did the raven say?
Nevermore.
Quoth the raven, nevermore. Now, here's one that's a little bit tricky. This is an old proverb rewritten. I read it to you. Give us the original of the proverb. Urgency of movement creates leftovers, no longer serving a purpose. Urgency of movement creates leftovers, no longer serving a purpose. Oh, that was easy now. Urgency of movement creates leftovers, no longer serving a purpose. Very simple.
Very simple. You with the paper there.
How about, oh, now, don't. No, that's not fair. You mean you don't think I'd know this one? Haste makes waste. How will that do it?
Oh.
All right, now, here's your last one. Groups of the following animals are called what? For instance, I'll give you an example. Partridges, coveys. You see a covey of partridges. Mm-hmm. How about sheep?
Flock.
Fish.
School.
Locusts.
Swarm.
People.
Crowd.
Crowds or mobs. That's right. Fine. Get down. 99.9%. And here's your loaf of certified double flavored bread. And thank you very much for coming up.
Thank you.
Now, the next guest in the certified magic carpet is Mary Burke. Miss Burke, where do you live?
I live at 3611 R Street.
And what branch of the business world do you represent in the Soroptimus Club?
Oh, I'm the Dean of Cookery at the Lewis Hotel Training School.
Ah, is so. Well, I'll have to get some comments from you on this bread department before you leave us. Now, here's an old problem that I want you to straighten out for me. Is a zebra white with dark stripes or dark with white stripes?
Oh, I think he could be either.
No, you've got to pick one or the other. We insist on that definitive, to say the least.
I see. Well, I'll say he's white with black stripes.
Well, that's, you're 90% right. He's considered white, and the stripes are brown and black, two colors. Now, what mammal can fly? What mammal can fly? It's a good one, is that? But I fly all by himself. What mammal can... You go into a dark room at night...
Oh,
that. That's right. Takes off the thing to scare the daylights off you. Now, what mammal lives in the ocean like a fish? What mammal lives in the ocean like a fish? Very big.
Whale,
does the trick fine. Now, here's one of those little things for you to straighten out. A revolving fragment of the solid part of the Earth's crust accumulates no plants which grow in masses nor moist surfaces. A revolving fragment of the solid part of the Earth's crust accumulates no plants which grow in masses on moist surfaces.
Rolling stone gathers no moss.
That's fine. That's splendid. Now, just one more for you before you leave us. Of the 26 letters in the alphabet, which is used the more often? Of the 26 letters in the alphabet, which is used the more often? Often.
Often?
No. That's pretty easy.
E.
And here's your loaf of certified double flavored bread. Have you ever used our bread?
Yes, I have. I like it very much.
As the Dean of Cookery, that's nice to know. Thank you very much
Thank
for
you.
Coming up. Now, the next guest in the certified magic carpet is the president of the Soroptimus, Gene Bennett. Miss Bennett lives at 621 Indiana Avenue, and before we ask you any questions, I'd like you to take a minute out to tell us something about the Seroptimus, if you will.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. I'm very glad to tell you something about the Seroptimus Club. You know, this organization in Washington came into being 17 years ago. We celebrate our birthday in November. There are 108 such clubs in the United States and Canada, in the American Federation, and about an equal number throughout the world. This organization is something, well, it parallels Rotary for men. One woman of each business or profession, supposed to be the outstanding one in her line. And everybody wants to know, what does Seroptimus mean?
That's what I want to know, sir.
Well, I should be glad to tell you. Soror sister. Optimo, the best. The best women.
Oh, fine stuff. I looked it up in the dictionary and had a lot of trouble with it. Now, you can't leave, you know, without answering a question or two.
Don't make it hard.
Oh, no, no. Is Canada larger or smaller than the continental United States? And that's an easy one, isn't it?
It's larger.
It's larger. That's fine. Now, the sun and the moon are said to have great effect on our tides. Which has the most effect, the moon or the sun?
The moon.
The moon, why?
Oh, don't ask me why.
Oh,
I don't know. I just know it
does. You see what I mean?
Oui, it's mirror.
That's right. It's mirror. That's fine. Now, ever heard of Sitting Bull?
Is that...
No, no. Who is Sitting Bull? You know who Sitting Bull is.
Yes, but I've forgotten.
Oh, but now think back.
Why did you take me unawares?
He's an Indian chief who did what?
Oh, somebody says he defeated Custer.
They're right, too. He was an Indian chief who destroyed Custer's troops in the famous Custer's Last Stand. Now, you've been in Washington a long time, eh?
Yes, 25 years.
Oh, well, this is going to be very easy, then. What building in Washington carries this motto, equal justice under law?
The Department of Justice.
Now, that was what you were not supposed to say. You were supposed to say the Supreme Court building.
Oh, well, that's a new building, and I haven't seen it.
Now, here's a tough one for you. Two native sons of Kentucky served simultaneously as presidents in the United States. Who were they? Two native sons of Kentucky served simultaneously as presidents in the United States. Who were they?
Let me think.
Yeah. In civil procedure... This sort of thing is almost out of order, but there was one time in the United States we had two presidents. Civil procedure.
Why don't you whisper in my ear and tell me? Oh, I don't think so stupid.
No, no, you know that one. It happened during the Civil War. Now, that'll ought to help you out. When we had, the only time we had two presidents.
Only time we had?
Yeah, two presidents at the same time, you see. One of them was... One of them was,
Lincoln.
Lincoln, and the other one was, President of the Confederacy, Mr. Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Jefferson Davis. And here's your loaf of certified double flavor bread. You made a good score. You
I'm afraid I don't deserve
it. Oh, you did. The last one was a tough question. Now, the next guest in the certified magic carpet is Rena Pond. You live where, Pond?
I live at Northbrook Courts.
Northbrook Courts. Now, what part of the business world do you represent here in the Seroptimus Club?
I represent the construction service.
Ah.
I'm secretary and treasurer of the Bright Shepherd Company, Incorporated.
Well, see if you can construct this one for me. Will you give me the definitions of the following? Tomboy.
Well, a mischievous boy.
Tomboy, a mischievous...
Mischievous girl.
Girl, that's right, a romping girl. How about Tomcat?
The one that's... Makes noise in the back fence.
The male of the species, right on. Now, what about a tomahawk?
Well, that has tomahawk. Something to do with an Indian.
Well, they used it for what?
Get scalps.
Yeah, that's right. War axes. Cut heads off and things like that. How about a Tom Noddy? I bet you never heard of that one.
I never heard of
well,
that
Tom
one.
Well, Tom Noddy is a simpleton. I didn't know that myself. That's why I'm in Cuban. Now, here's... describe these musical instruments for me without using your hands. An accordion.
Well, it has ridges like a radiator.
Yeah, how does it operate? What's the principle of operation?
Air pressure.
That's right. You portable instrument with bellows. We got that far. And it has keys and metal reeds, and you pump it. See, I can use my hands because I'm asking the question. Now, how about a violin?
A
It operates bow on strings.
And it's placed under the chin. That's fine. Now, all you have to do is unscramble this for me and you're all through. A feathered vertebrate in a quadruped's forefoot is of value equivalent to a pear residing in the shrubbery. Now, that's an old proverb rewritten. Straighten that one out for me, will you?
A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
That's fine. Spend it, and here's your loaf of certified double-flavor bread, and thank you very much for coming up.
Thank you.
Now, the last guest in the certified magic carpet this morning is Caroline Stevens, who lives at 1615 Hobart Street, Northwest.
Yes.
And is all ready to answer the questions as soon as you tell us what branch of the business world you
represent. I represent the secretarial school, the Temple Secretarial School.
Well, now, if a timepiece is a watch, what is a swatch?
Somebody who doesn't know a thing.
Now, you know what a swatch is. A swatch. A swatch.
A swatch?
Yeah.
Is a quick strike.
No. This has to do with the clothing business.
Oh, clothing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know anything about clothing.
Well, we'll call it a sample of cloth. How's that?
Sample of what?
Cloth.
Cloth?
They call them a swatch. I don't know why.
Oh, do they? Well, I don't know why.
I don't either.
No.
Now, if lemonade is a drink, what is a colonnade?
A colonnade is a series of posts.
That's right, columns. Fine. Now, if you heard somewhere about a husbandman, what would you think a husbandman was?
A husbandman was somebody that I'd have to go after at once.
You don't think that the farmer who tills the soil would do the trick, do you?
Oh, yes, he'd do all right.
Well, now we have just one quick question for you, for our time is going. Is it proper table etiquette for a left-handed man to stir his coffee with the right or left hand?
Perfectly.
Well, you should do it with a spoon, really. You shouldn't put your hands in the coffee. Well, now our businessmen return to their tasks, and so the certified magic carpet must close up shop and prepare to take off and go home. But first of all, we give Miss Stevens a loaf of certified double-flavor bread.
Thank you.
Now, we've been visiting the Sir Optimus Club, a group of businesswomen who meet for lunch once a week. They met today in the cabinet room at the Willard Hotel, and we've got to leave, but we've aimed to be back the next time you hear... That's the siren of the certified magic carpet.
Thank you, Charlie. It was very nice, my friends. From service, you and the certified magic carpet sure do get around. Yeah, that was a transcription. And that's a swell gang, that bunch of Sir Optimists I know from long ago. They sure is a great gang of gals. Now, each day, Charlie and the certified magic carpet go somewhere. You want them to come and visit you? Call Metropolitan 3200, ask for the certified magic carpet, and make an engagement. No charge of any kind, and besides, you get a loaf of certified double-flavored bread. Now, today's prize winner is Mrs. Irvin Plauger, is that? Plauger? P-L-A-U-G-H-E-R? Plauger? RFD number 3 in Alexandria. Her list of 4 or more questions was judged the best, and she wins $1. It's a daily prize. Why don't you try for it? And don't forget, ask your grocer for certified double-flavored bread. And then we'll have a treat. Mother, why not let Arcade Sunshine store your summer clothing and house furnishings? This way, you can be certain that your summer garments will be fit to wear next summer. You'll be certain that the white garments won't turn yellow and that they won't be ruined by moths and other insects. There's no need to run the risk of ruining your summer garments when you can have them clean, pressed, and stored for just a few pennies more than the price of cleaning alone. For instance, ladies' dresses cleaned and stored for as little as $1. Men's summer suits cleaned and stored for $1. Randolph 8000, Arcade Sunshine, Washington's complete cleansing institution. Randolph 8000. See you tomorrow. This is WJSV Washington.
Old Dutch, the cleanser that polishes as it cleans, presents Bachelor's Children. You know, it's not surprising that we're receiving thousands of requests for our smart-looking floral spray pin. It is handsome and right in style. It's a quality piece of costume jewelry made by one of America's leading jewelers. Why, a pin like this is worth $1. But just think, you may have it for only 25 cents and the windmill pictures from two Old Dutch cleanser labels. Well, that's such a bargain that many are taking advantage of the offer to get more than one for gifts or bridge prizes. Fashionable women everywhere are wearing pins like this on lapels, dresses, and sweaters. It's 14-karat gold finish in a stunning floral design consisting of three flowers, one large and two small, with satin-finished petals that contrast with the brightly polished stems and the green-gold effect of the leaves. The heart of each flower is set with a brilliantly cut, imported simulated amethyst. It also has a safety lock. This pin is 2.5 inches overall. It was made exclusively for Old Dutch Cleanser, and the only way you can get it is through this offer. But hurry, our limited supply is going so fast, we probably won't be announcing this offer much longer. So send 25 cents and the windmill pictures from two Old Dutch Cleanser labels for each pin wanted to Old Dutch Cleanser, Chicago, Illinois. This offer is good only in the United States. And save time and work. Use Old Dutch, the cleanser with the 1-2 cleaning action. 1, cuts grease quickly. 2, makes your cleaning easier. And now, bachelor's children. It's nearly 10 o'clock the following evening as we take up our story again, and Sam is just opening the door of his house to admit Dr. Graham.
Hi, fella. Well, it's about time you're showing up, young man. My wife over here?
Yes, she certainly is. Come in here and give an account of yourself.
Can you hear that? I'm telling you, she's all burned up because you've been AWOL.
Well, now listen, I'm counting on you to stand back of me in case she gets tough.
Well,
you've been all this time.
But now, just hold on a minute, I'll tell you. Hello, Janet.
Hi, Dr. Bob.
You know, I always bring a box of candy or something like that to square myself when I've stayed out late.
Oh, well, I never have to square myself with my wife. How about that, darling?
Well, aren't you forgetting something?
Forgetting?
After all, I haven't seen you since 8:30 this morning.
Oh. Well, I trust it won't embarrass you two if I kiss my wife.
Things have come to a pretty pass, I must say, when a wife has to invite her husband to kiss her.
Yes, I'd say so too, Sam. Yes.
Yet better?
Much better. Although it's almost like being kissed by a stranger.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I'm not taking all the blame here. You weren't home this afternoon when I finished my office hours.
I know I wasn't. I was shopping. Well, tell me, who did you have dinner with?
With Mr. Radcliffe, Mr. Hampton.
Hampton.
Mm-hmm. Editor of the News Dispatch. And Mr. Wakefield. He's state representative for this district.
Oh, but how come? Why did you happen to have dinner with him?
Well, you know, you were at the house last night, weren't you, when Mr. Radcliffe suggested I have lunch with him and Mr. Hampton?
No, Janet left before Allison and her father came by.
Oh, that's right. Well, you tell him about it?
No, I didn't.
She hasn't had a chance. She's been too busy wondering who you were with.
Oh, Sam, I was not.
Well, anyway, last night, Allison brought her father over to see me. She told him about our plans for taking the sanitarium case to the legislature and had him very much interested in it. Well, it seems he's a very good friend of this Qualis Hampton of the News Dispatch, and he arranged for the three of us to have lunch today.
What for?
Well, he felt that Hampton could do us a whole lot of good through his paper if we could get him interested in that.
And did you?
Yes, I believe we did.
Oh, good.
It's a funny thing. Hampton has a son, grown now, who suffered with heart disease for a good many years. And as a consequence, Mr. Hampton is vitally interested in anything having to do with the disease.
Yeah, I suppose he naturally would. Where are you going, honey?
I thought I'd go back and make some coffee and fix a little lunch for us to eat while we're talking.
Okay, fine.
Do you mind if I don't help you, Janet? I want to hear all about this.
Oh, no, that's all I said.
Well, go on, Mark.
Well, I explained the whole situation to Hampton. He knew about the sanitarium, of course, and the injunction that had been placed on it. But after I told him about Conway and his part in it, he... Very pompous sort of person. Ever meet him?
No, never did.
Well, anyway, he declared himself as being on our side and said he'd do everything he could to help us.
Oh, grand. But this was at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You say you had dinner with him, too?
Well, yes. When lunch was over, he went to the phone and called Mr. Wakefield. He lives here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And asked him to have dinner with us this evening.
Well, what was the idea?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute. I'll tell you another thing. I realize now that What I didn't know about the way to get a bill brought before the legislature would fill a large book.
Yeah.
It's a good thing Mr. Radcliffe interested himself in the case, or I'm afraid my chances of winning out had been pretty poor.
How so, Bob?
Well, in the first place, it seems that it's necessary to have a representative introduce a bill before the legislature.
Oh?
So, when it convenes...
Oh, when's that going to be?
The 19th, October.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Hampton says that Wakefield's one of the most powerful representatives in the legislature. Mm. That's the reason he had him down to meet me. And he's going to introduce our bill.
Well, just how does it work, getting a bill before the legislature, do you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I got the whole setup from him. Any member of the legislature can introduce the bill.
Mm.
But, naturally, it's to one's advantage to get the most influential member possible.
Sure.
Well, then, after the bill's been introduced, the speaker refers it to some subcommittee, and they investigate the merits of the case and report their findings, favorable or unfavorable.
Mm.
I'll tell you one thing, Ruth Ann. You certainly did me a favor when you suggested getting Alison Radcliffe on that board. Your father was so interested that this evening, he volunteered to have his lawyer draw up the bill for us. That grand?
Yeah, I suppose it's important that that be done right, huh?
Oh, well, I realize fully I couldn't do it myself, and since Houston isn't here, it'd cost us a whole lot of money, I'm afraid.
Well, is that all there is to it then, Bob? Just to get the bill presented and see how they vote on it?
Oh, no, honey, that's just the beginning. And just as soon as the bill is introduced, I'll have to go down to the Capitol and do a little lobbying.
Lobbying? What's that?
All meeting with representatives, try to persuade them to vote in our favor.
Mm. Exit the doctrine, enter the politician.
Well, certainly in a good enough cause, and be worth all the effort I'll put into it.
Mm. Yeah, but what will I be doing while you're there?
You're going to be doing your bit right here at home, honey.
How?
Well, Mr. Hampton suggested that the board write letters to club women all over the state, you see.
Uh-huh.
Telling the story of the sanitarium and asking them to appeal to their various representatives to vote in our favor.
Oh, I
and
see.
You can take care of that, see?
Uh-huh.
Say, it looks to me as if you really got someplace today, Bob.
Yes, I think I did. Yeah, well, I've been determined to go on with this plan, but as to how I was going to do it and procedure and all that sort of thing, I was pretty vague about it.
Uh-huh.
But now I know just what we're going to do, and that's half the battle.
Well, here I am.
Oh, here, honey, let me take that tray. She called me. I had to come out and carry it in.
Well, that's all right. It isn't heavy. Set it here on the coffee table.
All right.
You can go out and get the coffee, though, if you will.
All right. Anything else you want me to bring in?
No, I think I have everything else.
All right.
Ruth Ann, do you want to pull your chair around so that you... will somebody answer
all
that?
Right.
Hello? Oh, yes, Ellen. Was that so? He wants me to call him right away, huh? All right, I will. Yes, I know his number. Well, I don't know. Not very much longer.
Ask if she wants to come over and have some cake and coffee with us.
Ellen, Janet's serving cake and coffee. She wants to know if you want to come on over. All right, I'll tell her. Goodbye. Yeah, she says she's all ready for bed.
Oh, too bad.
And she also said she didn't think it was good for you to be eating and drinking coffee this late at night.
Yeah, just like.
See, could I use your phone, Janet? I have to make a call.
Oh, sure, not so.
Willow, 6695, please.
Who are you calling, Bob?
Dr. Freeling. He called the house just now and asked Ellen to have... hello. Dr. Freeling there?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
Where shall I put this coffee, sweetie?
Right here.
Hello, Dr. Freeling?
Oh.
It's Dr. Graham. Did you call me? Oh, that's perfectly all right. Yes? Mm-hmm. Well, what time, Doctor? Well, I'll have to think a minute. See, I have an operation scheduled for 9:15 and another for 10:30. Last one shouldn't take long, so... Well, yes, I can do it, I think. But what's the trouble? Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Well, all right, I'll see you over there in the morning around 11.
Hurry up, Dr. Bob. Bring the coffee down to get cold.
What?
It'll be all right.
The what was that?
You think I'm pretty clever? About what? I don't get you. Holding out on you? Say, hey, what is this, anyway? Well, I don't know what you're talking about, but I suppose it's all right. Well, no, what is it? Okay, Bill. Good night. Oh, somebody's crazy.
What do you mean?
Bill Freeling just now. He wants me to assist him with an operation tomorrow. Then after we got all set on that, he said, you think you're pretty clever, don't you?
Clever about what?
Well, that's what I'd like to know. He's laughing. He said something about their finding me out, even if I did hold out on them.
Well, what was it?
I'm sure I don't know. Haven't any idea. Whatever it was, he seemed to think it was a pretty good joke. He was still laughing about it when he hung up.
Freeling. I know him, don't I?
Yes, on the staff over at the hospital. We were over there at dinner one night about a year ago.
Oh, yes, sure. Well, sit down and have your coffee, and then we must go home.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Even though Bob does have big, important matters like state legislatures and operations and all that to think about, don't forget I'm only a housewife and have to crawl out of bed at the crack of dawn and get his breakfast in the morning.
Find just the smart touch you need for that new dress, sweater, hat, or suit in this stunning floral spray pin Old Dutch Cleanser is offering you. It's 14-carat gold finish, so it fits right into this season's vogue for gold trimming. It's a quality piece of costume jewelry made by one of America's leading jewelers. The floral design consists of three flowers, one large and two small, with satin-finished petals that contrast with the brightly polished tapering stems and the green-gold effect of the leaves. The heart of each flower is set with a good-sized, brilliantly cut, simulated amethyst. It's such an up-to-the-minute style that you'll want several extra pins for gifts or bridge prizes. I'd even suggest looking ahead to the holidays, for this is a bargain hard to duplicate. This pin is worth $1, but Old Dutch is offering it to you for only 25 cents and the windmill pictures from two Old Dutch Cleanser labels. And this pin was made exclusively for Old Dutch Cleanser. The only way you can get it is through this offer. So hurry, send your order to Old Dutch Cleanser, Chicago, Illinois, today. The offer is good only in the United States. Remember, Old Dutch Cleanser is economical to use because it goes so far. Order a supply from your grocer today. This is Russ Young speaking for Old Dutch Cleanser. And by the way, remember, beginning next Monday, September 25th, Bachelor's Children will be broadcast at 9:45 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 8:45 a.m. Central Standard Time. Another chapter in the story of Bachelor's Children at this same time tomorrow. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. At WJSB, Washington.
Teil 1 von Briefe aus dem Gefängnis. Diese LibriVox-Aufnahme ist in der Public Domain. Briefe aus dem Gefängnis von Rosa Luxemburg. Teil 1. Aus Leipzig. Postkarte. Fußnote. Diese Karte ist die einzige Karte aus der Freiheit. Am 10.07.16 erfolgte Rosa Luxemburgs Verhaftung. Ende Fußnote. Leipzig, 7.7.16. Meine kleine, liebe Sonja, es ist heute eine drückende, feuchte Hitze, wie meist in Leipzig. Ich vertrage so schlecht die Luft hier. Ich saß vormittag 2 Stunden in den Anlagen am Teich und las im Reichen Mann. Fußnote: Der reiche Mann von Galsworthy. Ende Fußnote. Die Sache ist brillant. Ein altes Mütterchen setzte sich neben mich, tat einen Blick auf das Titelblatt und lächelte: Das muss ein feines Buch sein. Ich lese auch gern Bücher. Bevor ich mich zum Lesen hinsetzte, prüfte ich natürlich die Anlagen auf Bäume und Sträucher hin. Alles bekannte Gestalten, was ich mit Befriedigung feststellte. Die Berührung mit Menschen befriedigt mich dagegen immer weniger. Ich glaube, ich werde mich doch bald ins Anachoretentum zurückziehen, wie der heilige Antonius. Aber sans tentation mehr. Seien Sie heiter und ruhig. Herzliche Grüße, Rosa. Den Kindern viele Grüße. Aus Berlin, Postkarte. Berlin, den 5.8.1916. Gefängnis in der Barminstraße. Meine liebe kleine Sonja, heute am 5. August erhalte ich soeben Ihre beiden Briefe zusammen, den vom 11. Juli und den vom 23. Juli. Sie sehen, die Post zu mir geht länger als nach New York. Inzwischen habe ich auch die Bücher gekriegt, die Sie mir geschickt hatten, und ich danke Ihnen für alles aufs Herzlichste. Es tut mir sehr weh, dass ich Sie in Ihrer Lage verlassen musste. Wie gern möchte ich mit Ihnen im Feld wieder ein wenig schlendern oder im Erker in der Küche auf den Sonnenuntergang blicken. Von Helmi hatte ich eine ausführliche Karte mit der Reisebeschreibung. Vielen, vielen Dank auch für den Hölderlin. Aber Sie müssen nicht so mit dem Geld für mich schmeißen, das ist mir eine Pein. Auch für alle guten Sachen und die Wicken herzlichen Dank. Schreiben Sie bald, dann kriege ich es vielleicht noch in diesem Monat. Ich drücke Ihnen fest und warm die Hand. Bleiben Sie tapfer und lassen Sie sich nicht niederdrücken. Ich bin in Gedanken bei Ihnen. Grüßen Sie vielmals Karl und die Kinder. Ihre Rosa. Pierre Lotti ist wunderbar, die anderen habe ich noch nicht gelesen. Aus Wronke, Postkarte. Fußnote: Diese Karte wurde geschrieben an dem Tag, an dem Karl Liebknecht in zweiter Instanz zu 4 Jahren Zuchthaus verurteilt wurde. Ende Fußnote. Wronke, den 24.08.1916. Liebe Sonitschka, dass ich jetzt nicht bei Ihnen sein kann. Die Sache trifft mich schwer. Aber bitte behalten Sie den Kopf oben. Manches wird schon anders, als es jetzt aussieht. Jetzt müssen Sie aber fort, irgendwo aufs Land, ins Grüne, wo es schön ist und wo Sie Pflege finden. Es hat keinen Sinn und Zweck, dass Sie jetzt weiter hier sitzen und immer mehr herunterkommen. Bis zur letzten Instanz können wieder Wochen vergehen. Bitte gehen Sie so bald wie irgend möglich. Für Karl wird es sicher auch eine Erleichterung sein, wenn er Sie auf Erholung weiß. 1000 Dank für Ihre lieben Zeilen vom 10. und für die guten Gaben. Sicher werden wir nächstes Frühjahr zusammen im Feld und im Botanischen herumstreifen. Ich freue mich jetzt schon darauf. Aber gehen Sie fort von hier, Sonetschka. Können Sie nicht zum Bodensee, damit Sie ein bisschen den Süden spüren? Bevor Sie gehen, möchte ich Sie unbedingt sehen. Machen Sie eine Eingabe in der Kommandantur. Schreiben Sie bald wieder eine Zeile. Bleiben Sie ruhig und heiter, trotz allem. Ich umarme Sie. R. Für Karl 1000 Grüße. Die beiden Karten von Helmi und Bobby habe ich erhalten und mich sehr gefreut. Wronke, den 21.11.16. Meine geliebte kleine Sonitschka, ich erfuhr von Mathilde, dass ihr Bruder gefallen ist, und bin ganz erschüttert von diesem Schlag, der sie wieder traf. Was müssen Sie alles in der letzten Zeit ertragen? Und ich kann nicht einmal bei Ihnen sein, um Sie ein wenig zu erwärmen und aufzuheitern. Auch bin ich unruhig um ihre Mutter, wie sie dieses neue Leid ertragen wird. Das sind böse Zeiten, und wir haben alle eine lange Verlustliste im Leben zu verzeichnen. Jeder Monat kann jetzt wahrhaftig wie bei Sewastopol für ein Jahr zählen. Hoffentlich kann ich sie recht bald sehen. Ich sehne mich danach von ganzem Herzen. Wie haben Sie die Nachricht von Ihrem Bruder erhalten? Durch die Mutter oder direkt? Und was hören Sie von dem anderen Bruder? Ich wollte Ihnen so gerne durch die Mathilde etwas schicken, habe aber hier leider gar nichts als das kleine bunte Tüchlein. Lachen Sie's nicht aus. Es sollte Ihnen nur sagen, dass ich Sie sehr liebe. Schreiben Sie bald eine Zeile, damit ich sehe, in welcher Verfassung Sie sind. Grüßen Sie tausendmal Karl. Ich umarme Sie herzlich. Ihre Rosa. Den Kindern viele Grüße. Wronke, 15.01.17. Ach, heute gab es einen Augenblick, da ich's bitter spürte. Der Pfiff der Lokomotive um 3:19 Uhr sagte mir, dass Mathilde abdampfte, und ich lief gerade wie ein Tier im Käfig den gewohnten Spaziergang an meiner Mauer entlang, hin und zurück, und mein Herz krampfte sich zusammen vor Schmerz, dass ich nicht auch fort von hier kann, oh, nur fort von hier. Aber das macht nichts. Mein Herz kriegte gleich darauf einen Klaps und musste kuschen. Es ist schon gewöhnt zu parieren wie ein gut dressierter Hund. Reden wir nicht von mir. Sonitschka, wissen Sie noch, was wir uns vorgenommen haben, wenn der Krieg vorbei ist? Eine Reise zusammen nach dem Süden. Und wir tun das. Ich weiß, Sie träumen davon, mit mir nach Italien zu gehen, dass Ihnen das Höchste ist. Ich plane hingegen, Sie nach Korsika zu schleppen. Das ist noch mehr als Italien. Dort vergisst man Europa, wenigstens das moderne Europa. Denken Sie sich eine breite, heroische Landschaft mit strengen Konturen der Berge und Täler. Oben nichts als kahle Felsklumpen von edlem Grau, unten üppige Lorbeeren, Lorbeerkirschen und uralte Kastanienbäume. Und über allem eine vorweltliche Stille. Keine Menschenstimmen, kein Vogelruf, nur ein Flüsschen klickert irgendwo zwischen Steinen oder in der Höhe raunt zwischen Felsklippen der Wind. Noch derselbe, der Odysseus Segel schwellte. Und was sie an Menschen treffen, stimmt genau zur Landschaft. Plötzlich erscheint zum Beispiel hinter einer Biegung des Bergpfades eine Karawane. Die Korsen gehen immer hintereinander in gestreckter Karawane, nicht im Haufen wie unsere Bauern. Vorne läuft gewöhnlich ein Hund, dann schreitet langsam etwa eine Ziege oder ein mit Säcken voller Kastanien beladenes Eselchen. Dann folgt ein großes Maultier, auf dem eine Frau im Profil zum Tiere mit gerade herabhängenden Beinen sitzt, ein Kind in den Armen. Sie sitzt hoch aufgerichtet, schlank wie eine Zypresse, unbeweglich. Daneben schreitet ein bärtiger Mann mit ruhiger, fester Haltung. Beide schweigen. Sie würden schwören, es ist die heilige Familie. Und solche Szenen treffen sie dort auf jeden Schritt. Ich war jedes Mal so ergriffen, dass ich unwillkürlich in die Knie sinken wollte, wie ich's immer vor vollendeter Schönheit muß. Dort ist noch die Bibel lebendig und die Antike. Wir müssen hin, und so wie ich's getan, zu Fuß die ganze Insel durchqueren, jede Nacht an einem anderen Ort ruhen, jeden Sonnenaufgang schon im Wandern begrüßen. Lockt Sie das? Ich wäre glücklich, Ihnen diese Welt vorzuführen. Lesen Sie viel, Sie müssen auch geistig vorwärts kommen, und Sie können das. Sie sind noch frisch und biegsam. Und nun muss ich schließen. Seien Sie heiter und ruhig an diesem Tage. Ihre Rosa. Wronke, 18.02.17. Seit langem hat mich nicht so erschüttert wie der kurze Bericht Marthas über ihren Besuch bei Karl, wie sie ihn hinter dem Gitter fanden und wie das auf sie wirkte. Weshalb haben Sie mir das verschwiegen? Ich habe ein Anrecht, an allem, was Ihnen weh tut, teilzunehmen, und lasse mein Besitzrecht nicht kürzen. Die Sache hat mich übrigens lebhaft an mein erstes Wiedersehen mit den Geschwistern vor 10 Jahren in der Warschauer Zitadelle erinnert. Dort wird man in einem förmlichen Doppelkäfig aus Drahtgeflecht vorgeführt. Das heißt, ein kleinerer Käfig steht frei in einem größeren, und durch das flimmernde Geflecht der beiden muss man sich unterhalten. Da es dazu just nach einem 6-tägigen Hungerstreik war, war ich so schwach, dass mich der Rittmeister, unser Festungskommandant, ins Sprechzimmer fast tragen musste und ich mich im Käfig mit beiden Händen am Draht festhielt, was wohl den Eindruck eines wilden Tieres im Zoo verstärkte. Der Käfig stand in einem ziemlich dunklen Winkel des Zimmers, und mein Bruder drückte sein Gesicht ziemlich dicht an den Draht. »Wo bist du?« frug er immer und wischte sich vom Zwinker die Tränen, die ihn am Sehen hinderten. Wie gern und freudig würde ich jetzt dort im Luckauer Käfig sitzen, um es Karl abzunehmen. Richten Sie an Pfemfert meinen herzlichen Dank für den Galsworthy aus. Ich habe ihn gestern zu Ende gelesen und freue mich sehr darüber. Dieser Roman hat mir freilich viel weniger gefallen als Der reiche Mann, nicht trotzdem, sondern weil die soziale Tendenz dort mehr überwiegt. Im Roman schaue ich nicht nach der Tendenz, sondern nach künstlerischem Wert. Und in dieser Beziehung stört mich in den Weltbrüdern, dass Galsworthy zu geistreich ist. Das wird Sie wundern, aber es ist derselbe Typ wie Bernard Shaw oder auch wie Oscar Wilde, ein jetzt in der englischen Intelligenz wohl stark verbreiteter Typus, eines sehr gescheiten, verfeinerten, aber blasierten Menschen, der alles in der Welt mit lächelnder Skepsis betrachtet. Die feinen, ironischen Bemerkungen, die Galsworthy über seine eigenen Personae Dramatis mit dem ernsten Gesichte macht, lassen mich oft laut auflachen. Aber wie wirklich wohlerzogene und vornehme Menschen nie oder selten über ihre Umgebung spötteln, wenn sie auch alles Lächerliche bemerken, so ironisiert ein wirklicher Künstler nie über seine eigenen Geschöpfe. Wohlverstanden, Sonitschka, das schließt die Satire großen Stils nicht aus. Zum Beispiel Emanuel Quint von Gerhard Hauptmann ist die blutigste Satire auf die moderne Gesellschaft, die seit 100 Jahren geschrieben worden ist. Aber Hauptmann selbst grinst dabei nicht. Er steht zum Schluss mit bebenden Lippen und weit offenen Augen, in denen Tränen schimmern. Galsworthy dagegen wirkt auf mich mit seinen geistreichen Zwischenbemerkungen wie ein Tischnachbar, der mir auf einer Soiree beim Eintreten jedes neuen Gastes in den Salon eine Malice über ihn ins Ohr flüstert. Heute ist wieder Sonntag, der tödlichste Tag für Gefangene und Einsame. Ich bin traurig, wünsche aber sehnlichst, dass Sie es nicht sind und Karl auch nicht. Schreiben Sie bald, wann und wohin Sie endlich zur Erholung gehen. Ich umarme Sie herzlich und grüße die Kinder. Ihre Rosa. Kann P.F. mir nicht noch etwas Gutes schicken? Vielleicht etwas von Thomas Mann? Ich kenne noch nichts von ihm. Noch eine Bitte. Die Sonne fängt an, mich im Freien zu blenden. Vielleicht schicken Sie mir im Briefkuvert 1 Meter dünnen schwarzen Schleier mit zerstreuten schwarzen Pünktchen. Vielen Dank im Voraus. Wronke, 19.04.17. Ich habe mich gestern über Ihren Kartengruß herzlich gefreut, obwohl er so traurig klang. Wie möchte ich jetzt bei Ihnen sein, um Sie wieder zum Lachen zu bringen, wie damals nach Karls Verhaftung, als wir beide, wissen Sie noch, im Café Fürstenhof durch unsere übermütigen Lachsalven einiges Aufsehen erregten. Wie war das damals schön, trotz alledem. Unsere tägliche Jagd am frühen Morgen auf ein Automobil auf dem Potsdamer Platz, dann die Fahrt zum Gefängnis durch den blühenden Tiergarten, in der stillen Lehrter Straße mit den hohen Rüstern, dann auf dem Rückweg das obligate Absteigen im Fürstenhof, dann ihr obligater Besuch bei mir in Südende, wo alles in der Maipracht stand, die gemütlichen Stunden in meiner Küche, wo sie und Mimi am weißgedeckten Tischchen geduldig auf die Erzeugnisse meiner Kochkunst warteten. Wissen Sie noch die feinen Haricots verts à la Parisienne? Zu alledem habe ich die lebhafte Erinnerung eines unveränderlichen, strahlenden, heißen Wetters. Und nur bei einem solchen hat man ja das richtige, freudige Frühlingsgefühl. Dann abends meine obligaten Besuche bei Ihnen, in Ihrem lieben Zimmerchen. Ich habe Sie so gern als Hausfrau. Da stehen Sie so besonders lieb, wenn Sie mit Ihrem Backfischfigürchen am Tisch stehen, Tee einschenken und schließlich um Mitternacht unsere gegenseitige Begleiterei nach Hause durch die duftenden, dunklen Straßen. Erinnern Sie sich noch der fabelhaften Mondnacht in Südende, in der ich Sie heimbegleitete und uns die Häusergiebel mit ihren schroffen, schwarzen Konturen auf dem Hintergrund der süßen Himmelsbläue wie alte Ritterburgen vorkamen? Sonjuscha, so möchte ich ständig um Sie sein, Sie zerstreuen, mit Ihnen plaudern oder schweigen, damit Sie nicht in Ihr düsteres, verzweifeltes Brüten verfallen. Sie fragen in Ihrer Karte, warum ist alles so? Sie, Kind, so ist eben das Leben seit jeher. Alles gehört dazu, Leid und Trennung und Sehnsucht. Man muss es immer mit allem nehmen und alles schön und gut finden. Ich tue es wenigstens so, nicht durch ausgeklügelte Weisheit, sondern einfach so aus meiner Natur. Ich fühle instinktiv, dass das die einzige richtige Art ist, das Leben zu nehmen, und fühle mich deshalb wirklich glücklich in jeder Lage. Ich möchte auch nichts aus meinem Leben missen und nichts anders haben, als es war und ist, wenn ich Sie doch zu dieser Lebensauffassung bringen könnte. Ich habe Ihnen noch nicht für das Bild Karls gedankt. Wie haben Sie mich damit erfreut? Es war wirklich das schönste Geburtstagsgeschenk, das Sie mir geben konnten. Es steht im guten Rahmen auf dem Tisch vor mir und verfolgt mich überall mit seinen Blicken. Sie wissen, es gibt Bilder, die einen anzuschauen scheinen, wo man sie auch hinstellt. Das Bild ist ausgezeichnet getroffen. Wie muss Karl sich jetzt über die Nachrichten aus Russland freuen? Aber auch Sie persönlich haben Grund, fröhlich zu sein. Nun wird ja der Reise Ihrer Mutter zu Ihnen wohl nichts im Wege stehen. Haben Sie das schon ins Auge gefasst? Ihretwegen wünsche ich dringend Sonne und Wärme herbei. Hier steht noch alles erst in Knospen, und gestern hatten wir Schneegraupen. Wie mag es wohl in meiner südlichen Landschaft in Südende aussehen? Voriges Jahr standen wir dort vor dem Gitter, und Sie bewunderten die Fülle des Flors. Sie sollen sich nicht mit Briefen abquälen. Ich will Ihnen häufig schreiben, mir genügt aber vollkommen, wenn Sie einen kurzen Gruß auf einer Postkarte schicken. Seien Sie viel im Freien, botanisieren Sie viel. Haben Sie den kleinen Blumenatlas von mir mit? Seien Sie ruhig und heiter, Liebste. Alles wird gut gehen. Sie werden sehen. Ich umarme Sie vielmals und herzlich. Stets Ihre Rosa. Wronke, 2.5.17. Vorigen April rief ich euch einmal beide, wenn Sie sich erinnern, telefonisch dringend um 10 Uhr früh in den Botanischen, um mit mir die Nachtigall zu hören, die ein ganzes Konzert gab. Wir saßen dann still versteckt im dichten Gebüsch auf Steinen an einem kleinen, sickernden Wasser. Nach der Nachtigall hörten wir aber plötzlich so einen eintönig klagenden Ruf, der etwa so lautete: »Klick, klick, 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 klick.« Ich sagte, das klinge wie irgendein Sumpf- oder Wasservogel, und Karl stimmte dem bei, aber wir konnten nicht absolut herausfinden, wer es war. Denken Sie, denselben Klageruf hörte ich plötzlich hier in der Nähe vor einigen Tagen in der Frühe, so daß mir das Herz vor Ungeduld pochte, endlich zu erfahren, wer das sei. Ich hatte keine Ruhe, bis ich's heute herausfand. Es ist kein Wasservogel, sondern der Wendehals, eine graue Spechtart. Er ist nur ein wenig größer als der Sperling und hat seinen Namen daher, weil er in Gefahr die Feinde durch komische Gebärden und Kopfverrenkungen zu erschrecken sucht. Er lebt nur von